Let's ask the Lord's blessing this evening. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together. And we ask your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word for Christ's sake. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to just pick up right where we left off, going through this blessed book written to the church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul, and I'm going to begin in verse 10 and go through verse 16. Paul the Apostle says to the church at Corinth, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, knowing that all Scripture, we need to be reminded of this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Scriptures declare that this book was written, was penned by men as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. These Scriptures are God-inspired words. When these men wrote these Scriptures, they wrote infallibly. They made no error, no error. God was moving upon these holy men, the Scripture says, to write these Scriptures. So when we read these Scriptures tonight, consider these Scriptures, we need to remember that these were inspired of God. God Almighty. And so now the Apostle Paul, he tenderly and wisely proceeds to speak to the church at Corinth. But not just the church at Corinth, every church. He's talking to Katie tonight. This is every church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every local assembly of believers. This is for us. And the Spirit of God speaking to us, we pray, bless it to our hearts. We need to hear this. We need to be advised. And what we're going to be looking at tonight is, I've entitled this, Unity Within the Body. Unity. Togetherness. Oneness. And these words were written by men as God moved upon them for the prevention of divisions or schisms within the body. He starts off and he says, "Now, I beseech you," now listen to this, brethren, "I beseech you, children of the same Father," every believer in this room tonight is born by the good purpose of the Heavenly Father, chosen in Christ, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by the Spirit of God, indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. "Now I beseech you, brethren," you that are partakers of the same grace, the same life, the life of Christ that is within every believer. You know, we can't be reminded too often of our relationship to one another in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Abraham and Lot, there was a strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And do you remember what the strife was over? Grass. grass. It was over grass. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? He said, for we be brethren. We're brethren. We're of the same Lord, same grace. I beseech you, Paul says, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that that name implies. I beseech you in the name of the Lord. That basis by which Paul beseeched the church at Corinth. I'm beseeching you for Christ's sake. This is for the Lord's sake, for our good, for His honor, His glory. This is the basis of our union, the name of the Lord, and all that that name implies. I was thinking about this, and I jotted this down just before we got up here, and all that that name implies. I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when the Father, at His baptism, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a voice heard from heaven. And it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And what did the Lord say? You hear Him. You hear what He said. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions, no schisms among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, that is, with affection one for the other, and in the same judgment, that is, with the same opinion concerning the fundamental truth of the gospel. Speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, no schisms among you, perfectly joined together with the same thought. We believe the gospel. This is the foundational truth here at Katy Baptist Church. Has been for over 60 years. You think, when the Lord raised up Brother Scott, what was he preaching? Same thing he was preaching the last message he ever preached here. I had gone, I was leaving, I was going back to Franklin. And I was leaving on a Sunday afternoon. I called Brother Scott when I was pulling out. He was preparing to preach on Wednesday. And I think he told Stan, you know, he never lost his wit. He told Stan, he said, Marvin always has 3 points. He said, I'm going to have 9. You know, always preaching the same thing. The gospel of God's grace. I beseech you. And then the Apostle Paul says over in verse 11, he said, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, here again, listen to his wording. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren. The Apostle Paul wisely exhorts them in the name of what they are. Brethren, unity within the body. He says, now I've heard something from a very reliable source. It's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house. There was some within the household of someone named Chloe. And obviously it was a woman. And what she had done is out of concern for the body. out of concern for the good of the body, the unity of the body, she contacted Paul about some division, some contention, some wrangling within the church. And her love, number one, for the Lord, and for the Lord's people, and for the unity of the body, it's been reported, the scripture says, by them which are somebody in her household, not out of anything other than concern. They came and they talked to Paul, and they did it the right way. They weren't being backbiters and busybodies or sowers of discord, but they contacted the apostle and they asked him for some guidance and some direction on this problem. And then the Spirit of God was pleased to make known what the problem was. It says in verse 12, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Now, the problem was that the members, and there were Jews and Gentiles, that's the only two groups that there are in the world, Jews or Gentiles. And if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. I don't care where you are. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. So there's Jews and Gentiles in this assembly, and they were divided on some thoughts that they had, and the problem was not on the gospel. That wasn't the issue. The issue was not what was being preached. You know what the problem was? Who was preaching it? That was the issue. They were bickering over their favorite preacher, who they liked better. Now, some were saying it probably Gentiles. This is just a summation. Some of them were saying, "I am of Paul." Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so some of them were saying, "Well, I like Paul to preach. Paul's my favorite." And some were saying, "Well, I'm of Cephas." That's Peter. Well, Peter was the apostle sent primarily to the Jews. And then some were saying, "Well, I'm of Apollos." And Apollos, is, according to Acts 18:24, was an eloquent man. This is what it says. Mighty in the Scriptures. He was a man that was well-versed. He was well-taught. And obviously the Lord had gifted him to preach. When God calls a man to preach, first thing he does, Charles Spurgeon says, he saves him. He saves the man first. All God-called preachers are regenerated by the grace of God. Men that are not regenerated by the grace of God, they're not called of God. God saves His preachers. That was, I told you about me reading that in Spurgeon's lectures to my students. He said that's the first thing that God does, you know, before He calls a preacher. He saves him. I thought, I wonder why I didn't think of that. But after He saves this man, He gifts the man. He teaches him the gospel. Then He grants a man the ability to express what the Scriptures are saying. He's able to give the sense of what the Word is saying. He gives him, by study, the Spirit of God teaches him. Well, this man, Apollos, you know, it was said of Paul, the apostle, that he was very, in his speech, and he was not capable as much. That's what I've read. I don't know. But some of them would say, "Well, I like Paul. I like Peter. I like Apollos. See, I like the way Apollos preaches. He uses big words. Very eloquent man." And then there were some that said, "I'm of Christ." Now, it's hard to know exactly who these were or what they based their thoughts upon, but it probably was one of these two thoughts right here. Either they had been in Judea and had actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ and thus regarded themselves as being in greater favor, or maybe more distinguished. I actually heard the Lord. I was there years ago, but I actually heard the Lord preach. Or, more probably, it was because they didn't want to call themselves or name themselves or associate themselves with any one leader. And what they wished is to just regard the Lord as their head and possibly prided themselves in the belief that they were actually more conformed to the Lord because they weren't associated with Paul or Apollos or Cephas. We're of Christ. We just follow the Lord where the Lord leads us. We don't need a particular pastor or a teacher at all. We just follow the Lord as we feel led of the Spirit. Well, that sounds, I guess, spiritual, but it's not. The Lord made it very clear concerning His will in the teaching and the shepherding of His people. Jeremiah 3:15, He said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know, the church in Spring Lake, where Brother Rupert was for years. Here this past week, they called a pastor, Brother John Chapman, from Ashland. And Brother John had been going down back and forth to preach, and I got a call yesterday or day before yesterday and said that they had called Brother John. And you know, I'm so thrilled that God raised up a pastor in that assembly. If you've never been able to be in the church in Spring Lake, it's just a sweet group of people right in southeast part of North Carolina. And where Brother Doug and Judy West go, it's just thrilling that God would send them a pastor. But this is how the Lord leads and guides His people. He sends them a pastor. And so these men, they were bickering. And I understand that one minister may be, you know, preferred. You may enjoy hearing. I know how that is. I mean there's men that I just seem to be able to relax and I can plug in a tape, Brother Henry, Brother Scott, and you know, I just relax. I'm not, you know, fearful of what they're going to say or anything. I understand that. But here's the point. Let's be careful. Be very, very cautious that we give honor to those that the Lord has honored in allowing them to preach the gospel. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. But we're of Christ. You know, we're bound to give respect unto God's preachers. Hebrews 13:7 says, obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then the Apostle Paul, when dealing with these ones, that there was these divisions and schisms, and there were, you know, I like his preacher. Why don't you have him more? Why don't you have, you know. Then the Apostle Paul asked this in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you purchased by Paul's blood? Were you chosen in Paul before the foundation of the world? Are you robed in the righteousness of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? That's what he said. The body of Christ is not divided. We're one. We're a body. And that body was gloriously set forth even in the crucifixion of the Lord. You remember when the scripture had said in Psalm 34:20, He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. Spiritually talking about God's people, not one of God's people broken, lost, injured, harmed. They came to the Lord. They were going to kill the two thieves and the Lord. They broke the legs of the two thieves. They came to the Lord. He was already dead. They didn't break His bones in the fulfillment of that scripture right there. Every believer, Paul asked that question, verse 13, were you baptized in the name of Paul? In whose name are we baptized? Galatians 3:26 to 28 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. We're a body. Just imagine every one of our individual bodies. I've said this. My hand here likes this hand. They get along. They work together and they do things. And I like my feet and I'm one unit. I'm thankful. I'm thankful it works as well as it does. Doesn't work as well as it used to, but I still like it, you know. There's one body. Listen to Ephesians 4:4-6. There's one body. There's one church. There's one Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, that is that glory which is reserved for us in heaven in Christ. One hope of our calling. One faith. That is faith that believes and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and puts no confidence in our flesh. One faith. There's one baptism. One, two meanings. One of them just what I just said, you know, actually being baptized into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then water baptism, which is the confession of our faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. One God and Father of all, eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign, the I Am, who is above all and through all and in you all. We're one. We're one. And then in verse 14:50, he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Although the apostles were commissioned, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So even though the apostles were commissioned to baptize believers, Paul thanked the Lord. He said, I thank God that providentially, that's what he was saying, providentially, that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now here's what I found out. These two men, Acts 18:8, Crispus was the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Crispus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a Jew that God called out of darkness. And Paul said, I baptized him. And then he says in Gaius, Romans 16:23, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, salute you. So obviously here was a man that Paul stayed in his house. God was pleased to save him. He called him out of darkness. And Paul baptized him. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And then said, why? He thanked the Lord that he had only baptized a few. Scripture says, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul was not wanting to be charged with having a personal following. He said, I didn't die for you. I wasn't raised for you. You weren't chosen in me. You don't follow Paul. You follow Christ as Paul proclaims him. I'm just, as John the Baptist said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. So Paul didn't want to be charged with trying to drum up a following. You know, well, we're Paulites. You know, we're Peterites. Well, we're Apolloites. You know, he was an apostle that was held in great esteem by God's people, but he was cautious when he came to making a name for himself. He said, I baptized very few of you. But then he said, and it was as if he remembered something. Verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas besides. I know not whether I baptized any other. I remember baptizing Stephanas. And outside of that, he said, I just can't remember if I did. The apostle corrected himself. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But you know what just hit me when I read that? Here was a man writing under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Infallibly writing. Spirit of God caused him to write, but he never forgot that he was just a frail creature. Oh yeah, I just remembered. I also baptized Stephanas. I sure did. He was just a creature of the dust. That's an amazing thing to me. Writing under the inspiration of God's Spirit, made to realize, Paul, you are what you are by the grace of God. Don't you ever forget that. The Scripture says concerning Stephanas, I thought this was sweet as I close. 1 Corinthians 16:15-16. Now listen what the Scripture had to say about this man, Stephanas. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. And listen to what the Apostle Paul said about the house of Stephanas. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. I thought, what an epitaph. You know, they have addicted themselves. You know, somebody that's addicted to something, they got to have it. Whatever it is, they're addicted to it. They can't live without it. He said that the house of Stephanas has addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Whatever it takes, by the grace of God, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Whatever it takes for the glory of God and for God's people. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. May we all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for His honor and glory, for our good, for our peace, be found endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.